Never a dull moment. So it seems that Fannie Willis may have a day of reckoning coming towards her. The judge in the case in Fulton County has just cleared the way for Donald Trump to move forward in his attempt to get her taken off of the case. Her and her entire office, you see. Because there was clearly, how shall we say, a conflict of interest. We're going to get into all of that. Plus, oh my goodness, you guys, did you catch the Tony Bobulinski hearings going on Capitol Hill? AOC just outdid herself. Apparently doesn't seem to understand the seriousness of racketeering. We're going to get into that. A rather alarming story coming to us, courtesy of the Epoch Times. They discovered that Jake Sullivan, head of the NSC, sent out a letter from the White House to all of the governors around the states talking about the threat of a cyber attack on our water and sewer systems. Yeah, I mean, this is the scary stuff that I think Obama made a Netflix movie out of, shall we say. And new information coming to us about Kate Middleton and the horror that seems to be going on with employees actually trying to get her health information. I mean, this poor woman, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. I'm going to start first on Ms. Fannie Willis, but before I do, I want to remind you all that we're brought to you by our wonderful friends over at Legacy Precious Metals. Wonderful company, the Federal Reserve. How could I leave that story out? Boy, oh boy, Jerome Powell, he wants to have his cake and eat it too, shall we say? I mean, listen, you're setting up a stage for none other than good old-fashioned inflation all over again, are you not? When you talk about leaving interest rates this low for this long, I mean, they still are talking about cuts, allegedly 3 cuts this year. Come on, enough already. I told you this would happen. Sure enough, it did. We're looking at 18% inflation under Bidenomics. So if you're worried about more inflation, which, you know, as long as this guy's in charge, I'm telling you, we are in jeopardy of, as long as we have a Federal Reserve, frankly, I'm telling you, we are in jeopardy of. You might want to call legacypminvestments.com, 1-866-589-0560. That is their phone number. Again, 1-866-589-0560. Legacy Precious Metals. Okay, let's get to the goodies here, because Fannie Willis, your day of reckoning is here. You know what? It's not going to fly. I realize the judge wanted to have his cake and eat it too. I realize Scott McAfee thought that he could get away with slapping her on the wrist, saying, you know what, this was really, really bad behavior, but we're going to let it slide because the prosecution was not able to technically prove that you gained financially. But he also is now allowing, as I knew he would and predicted he would, Donald Trump to go back at her for round two. Well, actually, I guess she had round one. So he's going back and he's like, okay, you know, Fannie, you really shouldn't have this gig because you're not a responsible person. You did exactly what you promised everyone you wouldn't do. Remember when Fannie Willis told us that she would never do what her predecessors were doing? I mean, in fact, she was running for DA because they were doing, well, exactly what she wound up doing with none other than Nathan Wade. Here she is, Ms. Fannie Willis, back in the day when she was running.
You say, Ms. Willis, Judge Willis, what law did he violate? A few, but let's try this on for size. OCGA 45115, extortion, subsection A. As used in this code section, the term extortion means an unlawful taking by a public law officer under color of his office from any person of any money or thing of value that is not due to him or more that is due to him. Any public officer shall be by himself, his deputy, or his agent, or other in person employed by him, be guilty of extortion and receiving other and greater fees than by law are allowed him, shall be guilty of a misdemeanor, and repeat this part for me, and shall be dismissed from office. Not maybe, shall be dismissed from office.
Woo!
You say, Ms. Willis, Judge Willis, what law
okay,
did you violate?
Okay, so there she is, saying it right there herself. And what did we later learn? We learned, of course, that Nathan Wade was getting paid the big bucks to work for Fannie, and it turns out that, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but you don't have thousands of text messages and 35 trips over to her apartment now, do you? If she were just interviewing you for the job, I don't think. Anyway, what they've got to prove and what the judge Scott McAfee is saying, you failed to prove last time. You've got to prove that somehow there was a financial gain from Fannie. And it's got to be more than apparently a cruise or a new set of earrings, because she would argue, well, he was my boyfriend, he just gave me that. What they've got to somehow look at, and this is what you need a forensic accountant for, ladies and gentlemen, you got to go back and look at the bank records. We need Comer. Where's Comer when we need him? We're going to get to Comer because he's pretty busy with Hunter Biden and Bubba Blinsky. But you need someone to go back through all of the bank records and try and figure out just exactly whether he was getting the checks in from Fulton County, cashing them, and then where the money went. Now, maybe his ex-wife could do this, right? Because he's in the middle of a divorce. And if she's smart, she's going to get herself a really good accountant that's going to go back and is going to look and figure out just exactly how much he was spending on his mistress versus how much he was spending on the family. The other component to this, of course, is whether or not he was being paid above what somebody would normally get paid for that job. In other words, did Fannie give her boyfriend a bonus? I think he was making somewhere upwards of $2,000 an hour as a lawyer there for Fulton County. Pretty amazing, because like he traveled to D.C., apparently went to some shindig with allegedly the vice president of the United States of America, Kamala Harris, and some other officials from Georgia. So he's there, quote, for meetings at the White House. He's charging for it all while there. And so what they've got to figure out is, one, was he being paid above normal, above what a normal person working for the DA there in Fulton County, Georgia, would actually make? It seems like a pretty inflated rate. I mean, I would have thought maybe $700-$800 would have been plenty for him, especially for him. I mean, if you saw any of his testimony, he wasn't, shall we say, the most sophisticated of sophisticated lawyers. Anyway, Nathan Wade, one, were you making too much? And two, with all the money that you were making, where did it go? In other words, was there some skimming off the top for Fannie Willis? That's what they get to prove. And this is what they're going to have the opportunity to do. Let me show you right here in this filing today, this certificate of immediate review. Upon review of the defendant's joint motion for certificate of immediate review, the court finds that the order of the defendant's motions, blah, 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 to dismiss and disqualify the Fulton County District Attorney is of such importance to the case that immediate review should be had. Woohoo! Okay? And you know what? It is important. Immediate review should have. Somebody's got to go in and take a good hard look at this woman and her bank account and Nathan Wade's bank account and figure out whether there were any shenanigans going on. I mean, other than the ones that we've unfortunately had to hear about. Correct? Correct. I just can't imagine. I mean, this is honestly, honestly crazy. It's just such an unbelievable circus. And if I were a Democrat right now, I'd be sitting there going, really, is this the best we could do? We got Joe Biden, who's apparently so angry these days. NBC did a story on it that he's swearing at his staff because he's like, wait a second, look at my polls in Georgia, of all places, and Michigan. He doesn't understand why people don't think Bidenomics is working so swimmingly. Well, talk to the Fed about that. We're going to get to that in a second. But they get Joe Biden for their candidate, who's dealing with the Hunter Biden nonsense. That's a big deal. We'll get to that momentarily. And you've got the likes of Fannie Willis trying your case down in Fulton. I mean, she's the one to get the mugshot and everything. Her. Is no one looking at this and saying, well, gee, we've been dealt a really unfortunate hand, because clearly these are not the best and the brightest in our society? I mean, for goodness sakes, the woman was going after the former president of the United States and she didn't have enough intelligence to kind of keep her act together for the period of time that she was going to be conducting this prosecution. I mean, she's getting a mugshot of him all while carrying on behind the scenes. Woo. I'm telling you, the judgment is lacking, severely lacking. I want to turn to the other big story of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know who the big guy is? Tony says he does. Watch Jim Jordan questioning him real quick.
Should I allow Hunter to give his opening statement first? Well, doesn't appear Mr. Biden showed up for his...
We'll get to that in a second. But I think you know who the big guy is, right? I mean, I know who the big guy is. I'm pretty sure I know who the big guy is. I'm pretty sure Jim Jordan knows who the big guy is. And I'm pretty sure that the former business associate of Hunter Biden, he knows who the big guy is, right? Ah, Jim Jordan asked him right here. Here we go.
Mr. Bobulinski, who's the big guy?
Joe Biden.
Are you sure about that? Because when...
Jordan, Joe Biden.
You're sure?
I'm 1,000% sure.
Mr. Bobulinski, who's the big guy?
Joe Biden.
Are you sure about that? Because when...
Jordan, Joe Biden.
You're sure?
Okay, right. That was so good. We just had to watch it twice. We had to watch it twice. That is Tony Bobulinski being questioned by Jim Jordan in today's hearings, which were a really, really big deal. So much going on there and so much to cover. But just to back up for 1 second. So Tony Bobulinski is the, or former, I should say, was the business partner of Hunter Biden. And the reason he's relevant is he was allegedly involved in some kind of deal with CEFC. I don't think I even have to say allegedly on that one because he was involved in this deal. It was a Chinese energy company that was run by somebody who was involved with the CCP, the Communist Party of China. And so Bobulinski was on this deal, as was Hunter Biden, as was Jim Biden. That would be Hunter's uncle, or the brother of Joe, because apparently it's a family business. What can we say? And according to Bobulinski, these guys all got together with the CEFC, Chinese CCP guys, in 2017 at a Milken Institute conference. And so what Bobulinski is saying, along with Jordan and some others, Comer, is that basically you had some racketeering going on, and that was against the law. Now, don't tell Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that. No, because this woman wants no part of this. She can't believe that there's even this impeachment hearing going down. I can tell you why it's going down. It's going down for very, very important reasons, in that millions of dollars was going allegedly through Hunter Biden's bank accounts. We've seen the records of those things. And he was never declaring this money. And then this money was getting dispersed to multiple members of the family. And thus, yeah, it's worth asking why this money was coming in from all these foreign destinations when he never registered, for example, as a foreign agent, as he should have, foreign lobbyist. And during part of this time, his dad was the vice president of the United States of America. Now, in 2017, when the whole CEFC thing with the Chinese defunct energy company, natural gas company, funny how like all the foreign countries that are doing business with the Bidens get to be in the natural gas industry, right? Because I believe that was Burisma as well. There are all these traditional energy companies, but oh, don't you U.S. companies try and be in any traditional energy companies. We don't like those here, right? You got to lobby for the green stuff if you want to get the Biden's attention on this side of the pond. Anyway, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got into it, interestingly, with Mr. Bobulinski, who's saying, like, basically this was racketeering stuff. Hey, that's what they were trying to get Trump on in Georgia, right? The RICO stuff coming back to haunt us. Here's AOC. It's funny. You got to watch.
Mr. Bobulinski, I heard your opening statement. It's submitted to the record, part of our proceedings. I have a quick question. Simple. Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business
deal. Did you
deal,
witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir?
You
specifically.
You ask me to answer the question. I answered the question.
No.
RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is the
crime? It's a category
crime
of crimes that you're then charged
you
under.
You have charges.
A long hundred.
You have charges. Sir, please
name the exact statute,
sir,
under RICO?
Yes.
Well, it's funny. In this committee room, everyone's not here. There's over eight
All right, sir, I reclaim my
lawyers
time.
That went to law school.
I reclaim my time.
I'll leave it up to you guys
okay,
to
thank
define
you,
the
sir. I reclaim my time. Clearly, what we are seeing here today
Unbelievable.
Is a continuation of the 15-month saga of the Republican majority lost in the desert. Impeachment 101. The majority party or whomever is raising impeachment must accuse the president of a high crime, a specific high crime or misdemeanor. I would like to submit to the record HRES 918, the House resolution to open this impeachment inquiry.
Without objection to order.
This resolution does not outline a high crime or misdemeanor. It's not here. Now, when we compare the chairman's opening from his previous opening, he's talking about Ukraine and Burisma and all of this. It is this entire inquiry is based on a blockbuster piece of information that was in a classified SCIF room. And inside that room was a document alleging President Biden directly of a $10 million bribery scheme, a $10 million bribery scheme, extremely serious. What happened? What happened a month ago, Mr. Chairman? That document, the FBI arrested the person who offered those allegations for falsifying his testimony to the FBI. This entire impeachment inquiry is based on an actual provable individual who has lied. Now, responsible leadership would withdraw an inquiry based on that. Withdraw it. Instead, what we are seeing is that this committee was warned about the falsehoods of these allegations long before that, warned by Trump's Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and yet they proceeded anyway. The chairman proceeded anyway. This committee was warned by Rudy Giuliani associate right here, Lev Parnas, after that document about the falsehoods of this. Then held hearings where your own expert witnesses said that there was no grounds for impeachment, and you proceeded anyway. And finally, as if none of this was enough, the FBI arrested the individual who was the source of the entire, to quote the chairman, heart of the matter, to launch this impeachment inquiry, and proceeded anyway. At this point, the story is not the fact that the basis of this impeachment inquiry
is. So she's going to go on and on and on. Clearly, she does not want him to speak.
Why it's proceeding anyway. Why is this committee proceeding based on false charges? And if there, and by the way, no charges. I have yet to hear in the chairman's opening the allegation that they are specifically charging the president of the United States with.
That's why it's an inquiry.
Family. I'm hearing about this and that. I am not hearing the specific allegation.
Okay.
I
don't want to torture you all. You get the picture, right? This woman is something else. And so she goes on and on and on and on and on. She won't let Tony Bobulinski speak at all. Right. As soon as he tries to list the charges, as soon as he said, well, you know, basically he's in violation of the Racketeering, Influencer and Corruption Organization Act, boom, he's out. He's gone. She won't have it. And then she just goes off. Now, I just want to point out that to her point on the whole, well, this is all based off of some form with a person that's no longer trusted as a source, et cetera, et cetera. Can I just say, what do you think the darn dossier was? The dirty dossier that wound us up in the Robert Mueller thing and the whole nine yards? I mean, I'm sorry, but that was a lot of wasted energy because it was opposition research. In this particular case, you know, we don't know about the source. He apparently was a terrific source. Yeah, he was great up until he crossed Biden, but he had worked for the Obama administration and all of a sudden, he came forward with information saying that he knew about a conversation between the CEO of Burisma over in Ukraine and allegedly Joe Biden. And as soon as he said that, he filed it with the FBI. They never pursued it. No, we don't know why they didn't pursue it. They never went after him. no issue there until this all became a thing. And then as soon as Comer found out about that particular form, as soon as Republicans went digging, well, what do you know? That guy's SOL, and he winds up in prison. And not only does he wind up in prison, they like won't even give him bail. They're like, you can't come out. Alarming. I mean, apparently he'd been just absolutely fine for years and years and years until he dared to cross the Biden administration. I mean, why not bring him out and ask him some questions? Well, they're not going to let him out of the jail cell, for goodness sakes, because that's how they roll, apparently. Watch out, watch out, watch out. And you wonder why Trump keeps climbing ahead. Anyway, let me get to James Comer, because this is pretty great. He started off the hearing earlier today, and he's making the point that there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. And I'm telling you, there are. I mean, there's a lot of money that was transferred. And obviously, it's inappropriate for someone in 2017 who knows that he's going to probably be running for president, has those desires to be running for president, to be sitting down with the CCP, et cetera. But it's probably not illegal. I'm just going to say that, all right? That's probably not illegal. What is illegal is when you lie about it. I mean, we started off the show talking about Fannie Willis, who probably lied on the stand about her relationship, et cetera. So that's a problem, right? When you lie about things, it's a problem. And so did Joe Biden lie about whether or not he was conspiring with his brother Jim, with his son Hunter, with Tony Bobulinski, and CEFC, the now defunct Chinese energy company with close ties to the Communist Party of China? That I'd like to know an answer to. I do think that it's highly, highly, obviously inappropriate for Joe Biden, who was in charge of Ukraine policy when he was vice president, to be bossing around Ukraine saying, we're not going to give you the money. We're not going to give it to you unless you fire the prosecutor that just happens to be investigating the company that my son is making a whopping $83,000 a month on the board of as a board member for this now defunct natural gas company. Also defunct. Interesting stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Here's James Comer.
Today, the House Committee on Oversight will hear from witnesses who have previously provided information during our deposition and interview phase regarding the Biden family's business practices in China, Ukraine, Russia, and other places around the world.
They're busy.
At the start of this Congress, the Oversight Committee has investigated what product or service the Biden family and their associates were selling that would justify over $24 million in payments.
Wow.
We've reviewed emails, bank records, text messages, suspicious activity reports at Treasury, and other evidence normally compiled during an expansive investigation such as this. The Oversight Committee has found no credible evidence of the Bidens providing any work product. The committee has identified no legitimate value or document or even one single hour of work the Bidens have provided their business partners. Nothing. What is apparent after over a year of investigation is that the Bidens do not work in any traditional sense of the word. They do not work as consultants or lawyers advisors. The Bidens don't sell a product or service or a set of skills. The Bidens sell Joe Biden. That is their business.
We've heard Democrats desperately proclaiming
that witnesses have told this committee that Joe Biden had no involvement.
Devin Archer was the associate of Hunter Biden as well, who sat down for an interview with Tucker Carlson, also testified before Congress, and said, what were we selling? We were selling the Biden name, which means you're selling the influence, okay, of Joe Biden. They're lobbyists. They need access to people. But what's frightening is that they were selling the influence allegedly right when he was vice president of the United States of America, and that, frankly, is just too much. And yet you get these jokers like Dan Goldman out there who are trying desperately. I mean, he must really be trying to win some friends and influence people in the Democrat Party, because Representative Goldman from New York, he He was out there saying, oh, you know, there's nothing wrong. He was just calling his dad, you know, when he was hanging out with the Romanians at that dinner and his dad called and, you know, that was normal. That was totally, totally normal. And, you know, he puts his dad on the phone. Hey, you know, dad, say hi to everybody. And then he gets a Porsche the next day. I mean, this was Dan Goldman. He's been defending him over and over and over again. And Tony Bobulinski totally calls him out. Listen to this.
Evidence. You provided the committee with a screenshot of a text message that is between James Gilliard and you, dated May 11th, 2017. You see this? I don't know if you can see it. If you can't see, it's just you and James Gilliard, though, right? You remember this text message, I'm sure.
Generally, yes.
All right. And in it, Gilliard writes, man, you are right. Let's get the company set up, then tell H and family the high stakes and get Joe involved. And 2 days later, Mr. Gilliard sent an email to you, CCing Rob Walker and Hunter Biden, in which he suggested a division of the company and included a proposal of, quote, 10% held by H for the big guy, question mark. You remember that, right?
The infamous email with the big guy? Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Did anyone ever respond to that email?
Yes, they did numerous times.
Sorry.
Hunter Biden himself did.
Excuse me. You're right.
Well, no, I think that's important because Hunter Biden has claimed that he didn't respond to it, and he responded to it.
You're just going to filibuster. I reclaim my time that's running out. But I will say, no one responded to the big guy reference for 10.
Thank you for making my point. They didn't have to respond because they all knew the big guy was Joe Biden.
I reclaim my time. Mr. Chairman, please control the witness. I would like to get a little extra time, Mr. Chairman, because I want to read what Mr. Gilliard said to the Wall Street Journal. Quote, I would like to clear up any speculation that former vice president was involved with the 2017 discussions about our potential business structure. I am unaware of any involvement at any time of the former vice president. The activity in question never delivered and project revenue. 9 days later, the agreement without Joe Biden was signed. You and James Gilliard wanted Joe Biden involved, and that is why Hunter Biden dumped you and did the business on his own.
That's a blatant lie, Mr. Goldman. You know better.
Chairman's time's expired.
Wow. That is a blatant lie, Mr. Goldman. That was Tony Bobulinski to Representative Goldman. Wow. You know what's amazing? Like, he wouldn't let him talk. Did you hear that? He was the one filibustering the witness there. That's what you call a lot of grandstanding, a lot of grandstanding. Anyway, the question is, as I started the show, who's the big guy? Who's the big guy? We know who the big guy is, right? Who do you think is the big guy? Let me know in the chat. Jim Jordan asked Tony Bobulinski who the big guy was. And this is relevant because we're going to get to those emails that reference none other than the big guy.
Mr. Bobulinski, who's the big guy?
Joe Biden.
Are you sure about that? Because
Biden.
You're sure?
I'm 1,000% sure.
1,000% sure. Now that's relevant, guys, because let me share with you this article from the New York Post. Remember the New York Post, which got the Hunter Biden laptop, which had all of these emails and all of those pictures and all of those things that originally led us down this path, which, by the way, the deep state tried to tell us, no, 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 none of it's real. It's all fake. Don't buy any of it. It's just Russian disinformation. Brought to you courtesy of Rudy Giuliani, who actually just happened to get the laptop and brought it to the New York Post. I mean, the New York Post even got its Twitter account taken down. Good thing we got billionaires like Elon Musk coming to the rescue. Anyway, I read to you. Hunter Biden pursued lucrative deals involving China's largest private energy company, including one that he said would be interesting for me and my family, according to emails obtained by the New York Post. I quote, one email sent to Biden on May 13th, 2017, with the subject line expectations includes details of remuneration packages for six people involved in an unspecified business venture. So remember, this is the question. How much is he going to make? How much could he make? Again, he's like not in office then. So technically, he really, you know, had every right, I guess, to go out there. I mean, it may not look so hot. But look at what the Clintons did. I mean, they had a whole CGI, Clinton Global Initiative, you know, pay for access. You get your picture with Bill and Hillary and suddenly you're legit. Anyway, Biden was identified as chair vice chair, depending on agreement, with CEFC, an apparent reference to the former Shanghai-based conglomerate CEFC China Energy Company. His pay was pegged at $850, and the email also noted that Hunter had some office expectations he will elaborate upon. In addition, the email outlined a provisional agreement, under which 80% of the, quote, equity or shares in the new company would be split equally among four people whose initials correspond to the sender and three recipients, with H apparently referring to Biden. And then here's the kicker. Okay, you ready? You remember this? So the question is just exactly who was H, right? Who was H? It's apparently, according to this, the big guy, right? That's who they were talking about. The big guy. They were also listing 10 for Jim and 10 held for H. We assume that means Hunter for the big guy. But you see, they really haven't expanded upon exactly who the big guy. So 10 was being held for Jim. One could assume that would be Jim Biden, the brother. And then there would be another 10 held by H for the big guy. I mean, so everybody's like, okay, so who is the big guy? Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out in this case who the big guy probably is, right? I mean, neither Jim nor the big guy was identified further. According to the New York Post, the email's author, James Gilliar of the international consulting firm J2CR, also noted, I am happy to raise any detail with Zhang if there are any shortfalls. Zhang is apparently Zhang Zhanzhan, who's the former executive director at CEFC. This was all found thanks to the computer repair shop in Delaware, where allegedly Hunter Biden dropped off his MacBook Pro laptop in April 2019 and never retrieved it. And so eventually the computer was seized by the FBI and a copy of its contents was made by the shop owner and shared with Rudy Giuliani, who then shared it with the Post. And then, well, the rest is history, right? They go after Rudy Giuliani. Now apparently he has to sell his condo in Florida because he's about to go bankrupt. And you have an environment in which, if you're on the wrong side of things, they'll ruin you. That's what they're trying to do to Donald Trump right now. Word today that Letitia James has responded to Trump's lawyers who are arguing in 5,000 pages that $500 million is kind of unreasonable for some bail money. I tend to agree. 400 and what is it, 60 some odd million dollars. And then you get a factor in the interest he'd have to pay. I mean, it's wild. It's unprecedented. I've never heard of such a thing. I've covered business news a long time. And they're saying, no, this is not a big deal. You know what? He has property. Well, don't forget what Letitia James wants to do. Letitia James wants to take that property. She's told us that over and over again. She's made it very clear. She's very willing to take whatever she needs to take in order to see this one through. We've heard her say such things before, have we not? I was going to try to play you some sound from Letitia James, but it's not just coming up right now. Let me see if we can bring it back here. Letitia James campaigned, ladies and gentlemen, on taking down Donald Trump. She said it over and over and over again in her campaign messages. We have played you that, certainly, at nauseam, so you're well aware that there was a political vendetta going on. Then she went on to ABC News most recently, and ABC News, which, by the way, is also being sued by President Trump. You probably saw that news. We covered that in yesterday's show if you didn't go back and check it out, because it seems that Georgie Pie and ABC News, owned by Disney, by the way, they're in a little bit of trouble, just a little bit, because, well, he said some things that were pretty darn awful about the president and made some accusations that the president, former president, didn't find very funny. And I think the president was kind of putting everybody on notice there, saying effectively, like, look, you want to try that stuff? Good luck. because I will sue you and I will sue every news organization that tries to do that. So Letitia James is now saying in her filing today that, you know what? It's no big deal. He can just sell his properties or he can borrow against his properties. Well, he may not be able to borrow against his properties because you don't know what obligations those properties are already tied up in, number one. And number two, the idea that somehow, no, we're going to have a fire sale. You're going to have a fire sale to liquidate things? What, is Letitia going to scoop a few things up along the way? I mean, this is Banana Republic type stuff, right? We've said it before. I've certainly had my experience covering Banana Republics throughout my career. It's how I started my career, trading debt for emerging market countries. I've seen it. I mean, Hugo Chavez, right, comes to mind. That's exactly what happened with Chavez when he was trying. Letitia James, let me pull this up for you guys, because she has made it very clear that she's willing to take anything and everything from this president in order to see this one through. So today, now coming out and saying, no, he can sell. He can sell. This is so what? He sells Trump Tower. Then somehow you're vindicated, Letitia? I mean, you don't think that everyday Americans are going to say enough is enough? We're not kind of buying into this idea that somehow, you know, you can just take and take and take and take from us. I think people have kind of had it and they're frightened. I mean, small business owners, think about it. If you're on the wrong side of things anywhere in this country right now, you're subject to the whims of these local prosecutors that have political dollars behind them. And so your enemies can come climbing right over the side of the fence to try and get you. Anyway, it's one of the reasons why we want to give a plug for our friends over at JCN. JCN, it's join JCN. I'm going to put this up actually on the screen in real time for you so that you can see where to go to join this wonderful organization, which is out there every single day trying to really train business leaders for tomorrow. And I give them so much credit for this. Join JCN, JCN.com. Alfredo was just on the show the other day talking about this. Now you can see it, right? So join JCN.com. That's where you need to go because these guys are phenomenal. I'm telling you, they're fighting back against this. What you see going on right now with Letitia James and Donald Trump should not be happening. It just shouldn't. What you see happening in Fulton County, Georgia should not be happening. What you see going on, I mean, frankly, Jack Smith, the rest of it. But the one that really irritates me, because I guess I'm a business reporter, and so I think that there should be some kind of, you know, specialness between the relationship between the banker and the individual. And if they're making a decision, the bank is making a decision to lend money to the individual, and the individual is securitizing that loan vis-a-vis their property. And the bank's like, yeah, okay, great. And everybody makes money. I'm not really sure why you're fining Donald Trump $500 million, okay? $500 million. I mean, this is absolutely outrageous. So JCN gets it. It's outrageous. Join JCN.com, Job Creators Network. They're on the right side of things, and they are training business leaders for tomorrow, and they're teaching everybody all around the country. It is wonderful. They are teaching you how to fight back against this stuff. So we need them right now. I just wanted to give that plug. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, what's happening to the country? I'd like to know. I mean, it feels as though our individual freedoms are slowly but surely being chipped away at. I'll tell you, Ron Paul has an idea of what's going on with this country. You know, I've known Ron for many years, many, many years, and he's terrific. He's very consistent in that he's a big believer in small government. You know me, live free or die, New Hampshire. You can actually get this at the shop, at the Trish Regan shop. Just go to trishregan.shop. Live free or die. It's the motto of where I grew up. It's like the first thing I could read. You know, you're like this high and you're looking at all the license plates when you go to the grocery store with your mom and you see live free or die. It makes an impression, let me tell you. So Ron Paul is very much of that ilk. And he's a big believer in small government, big believer in gold, by the way. Shout out to our friends at Legacy. Ron Paul said he knows the day we lost our government. He can actually pinpoint the day when we lost our government to this sort of alleged ethereal deep state. And he sat down with my former colleague over at Fox, Tucker Carlson, and he did this interview, and he said, I can pinpoint the day. I want you to see this because it's interesting. We can talk about it. In fact, so many of you were sort of tweeting about it, and I saw some messages about it last night, and I'm like, what's everybody going on about with the day we lost our government? And it's interesting. Take a listen.
The date, I say it was concrete that there was a coup and we lost our government, was November 22nd.
Yes.
The assassination of Kennedy.
That was 60 years ago. Yeah. And our lawmakers never.
The date, I say it was concrete that there was a coup and we lost our government, was November 22nd.
Yes.
The assassination of Kennedy.
That was 60 years ago. Yeah. And our lawmakers never talk about it.
But you mentioned to me earlier and brought back in memory, but do you know who they appointed to the commission? Alan Dulles.
He was on the Warren Commission.
Yeah.
So the guy who was responsible for the murder.
He probably was
okay,
the most
well, that's
investigating
a big,
the murder. That's what dawned on me. The Republic is gone.
We're going down a little bit of a rabbit hole when we get to it.
The date, I say it was concrete
so
that there was a coup.
Ron Paul's making the point that Dulles, who was in charge of the, you know, the Warren investigation and committee, well, he happened to be the first head of the CIA. And so when he's saying this is the day we lost our government, it's the day that we got the Central Intelligence Organization. And Dulles was director of the Central Intelligence. And so that's, you know, to Tucker's point, the conspiracy is that somehow the U.S. government in some way, shape, or form was involved in the assassination. Now, that's a fascinating, fascinating topic for another day. But I just think it's interesting that he's saying effectively that's when big government sort of came in and took charge. And you think about what happens, right? Every 4 years, you maybe shuttle in a new president, maybe you don't. But what does happen is that the system keeps going and they have certain policies in place, especially on the international front. I mean, U.S. tax policy and stuff, you know, that's stuff that maybe they consider domestic, but the deep state kind of takes care of the big issues. It's why, you didn't even know this, we just found out publicly the other day, courtesy of the New York Times gigantic report. I mean, I printed it out, it was like a 23-page PDF file. We had the CIA running an op in Ukraine since 2014. So since the Maidan Revolution, the CIA has been actively involved and they were under strict orders to not have it escalate to where, well, it's escalated to. So they never told us. They were over there running this op. There's all kinds of things, right, that go on. And so this op was going on even when Trump was there. And the reality is, their feeling is, I guess presidents come and go. That's just, you know, the people electing, you know, the people. But the machine is there to have some continuity. Now, on the one hand, you could say maybe you need that, right? You need some continuity because you don't want to have whiplash constantly, and you don't necessarily want other countries thinking that our word is not consistent because of that whiplash. But what happens after, as Tucker points out, after 60 years? I mean, it becomes so entrenched that you're dealing with the opposite of whiplash. And so along comes Donald Trump and he's like, well, wait a second, you know, I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense. And, you know, maybe we ought to be using our influence, our economic influence more aggressively. Maybe it's not okay that all these countries get away with not paying their fair share, so to speak. I mean, before you go after Americans, oh, you're not paying your fair share. By the way, Hunter's not. Maybe you ought to go after Germany for not paying its fair share or France for not paying its fair share. We're going to have a whole NATO alliance, right? You're supposed to contribute 2% of GDP and nobody's doing it. Nobody's doing it but us and we're contributing more. So you can see why he is so despised and he is so hated because he's blowing the lid off of everything in real time. They've got 60 years of working hard. According to Ron Paul, it is the day we lost our government, right? So if you want to go with that theory and you think that the deep state effectively took over in a massive way, and they're running the show, certainly on the international side, then they can't have this guy come along out of nowhere and say, no, no, I'm getting rid of that. I want to tax Chinese imports at a bigger level because I don't think they're playing fair. And I'm not okay with giving billions more to Ukraine because I think it's being squandered. I mean, look at the Department of Defense head there in Ukraine who got caught. siphoning off millions off the top along with his deputy. I mean, if you do this, then you're rocking the boat in a way that's very problematic for them. And so this is why they are doing everything they can. And by the way, it's not just sort of the deep, when you're talking about the deep state, so to speak, you've also got media involved as well. I mean, the media organizations that just despise him. And I'm like, you know, guys, hey, he's actually like one of the first people that came along that actually tells the truth a lot, like maybe too much. Really? I mean, occasionally he just gets himself in too much trouble because he did. I mean, I think back to what happened with coronavirus. And was it either April or May of 2020 where he's like, yeah, you know, I've heard some intelligence that it could have come from a Wuhan lab. And the deep state, quote unquote, went bonkers and the media went bonkers. And then it turns out that everybody except for the CIA, I guess, is in agreement. All the other three-letter agencies, they're all in agreement that, yeah, you know what, this thing was derived out of the Wuhan lab in China where they were actually working with quite irresponsibly, obviously, and allegedly we were giving them the money to do it, $600,000 coming from U.S. taxpayers. They say, oh, it's not a lot of money, but you know what? So much as one dime is a lot of money, frankly, when you don't have any kind of control over what's going on in the lab. And we knew that because they had actually done a report on Taiwanese Chinese TV where they went back and looked at some of the reporting that happened in China at the time, and they were so proud that they didn't even wear the right protective gear. Come on. I mean, why were we giving any money to a lab like that? So it goes on and on and on and unravels and unravels and unravels. And what you find is not very pretty. And so if you want to change that, you need a lot of people on your side, which means he can't do this alone. And voters need to be all in. And when I say all in, it means not just for him, if you believe that he can change it. I actually think he's got the best shot of anyone we've seen most recently. And you need the Senate and you need the House. You need everybody. And it's why I think what these guys are doing is absolutely great over at AmericansForProsperity.org, because they want to make sure that they have the whole kit and caboodle, that you've got not just the Oval Office, but you've got the Senate and that you get the House. Because if you're going to do anything and really start to initiate change, and these guys, by the way, they share similar values in that they want low inflation, just like me and you, right? We can't have this crazy inflation with the Fed as it did today saying, oh, you know, it's fine, it's fine. It's not fine. I told you this in August 2020, it was not going to be fine. And we were running the risks of massive inflation, which of course we got. But when you have bad policies, when you do things like you just say, hey, we're not going to drill, even though you've cut off your energy supply coming from Russia, right, which shrinks the overall global supply of energy, thereby driving energy prices higher and helping your enemy, Russia, because, you know, they're still trading. It's not like it was totally shut off. I mean, India still buys from Russia. If you really wanted sanctions, I mean, you might actually say, hey, we're really, really going to sanction. Anybody who does business with Russia can't do business with us. But we don't do that, you see. We just make a big stink and we say, okay, we're not going to buy any Russian natural gas or any Russian energy. But they're still selling it. So we're just like shooting ourselves in the foot. The policies don't make any sense. So Americans for Prosperity, they know that doesn't make any sense. And they're actively, actively working to make sure that we get good people in the House and in the Senate so that we have sensible policies worldwide. I mean, imagine, can we have some common sense? I mean, that's what I believe Donald Trump does so brilliantly, is he brings that common sense to the table. And that makes all the difference, frankly, in the world. Common sense matters. I mean, when you've got Disney out there doing what Disney does, you know, getting themselves sued. Don't forget, ABC is owned by Disney because they say stupid stuff on the air. Or when you see Disney saying, okay, well, it's more important right now for us to have a cast that's quote unquote diverse, not diverse in thought, just diverse in how they check all those various boxes. When Disney does that and then sees its share price just wiped out, cut in half in the last 3+ years, you know what? You got a problem. I mean, this is, it's like we're putting all of this nonsense ahead of realism. and our values that have made us the success that we are as a country. And so it's a problem. It's a problem for the markets. It's a problem for politics. It's a problem for us as individuals. It's a big part of why, actually, I created 76 Research. I want to give 76 a plug. If you haven't been over to 76 Research, do me that favor. Go to 76research.com. Sign up for our free market research. There's a ton of information there that I think you're going to find really, really valuable. If you're more inclined as an investor, you should subscribe to the newsletter. It comes out bi-monthly. So there's two a month, and it often includes picks from the main portfolios. It's like $9.95 a month. I think it's the best money you'd ever spend. https://76research.com. Let me see if I can put it in the chat with you guys. We're going to talk in a little bit, but I do think it's well, I've certainly wanted to work on it for a long time. I've been thinking about it for a long time because so many people over the years have come to me and asked this investing advice. And I wanted to do this in a proper way, in a proper forum with you and with somebody who I trusted, who I knew had the ability to really go out, because I have a lot of big picture ideas and I tend to be can I say I'm always right? I think I am. Like, when was I ever wrong? I even liked Bitcoin back when it was 10 bucks. So I tend to be quite right on these things from a very macro sensibility. And I teamed up with somebody who I've known for many, many years and shares a very similar sensibility to me and hopefully you. I think so, if you're here watching this or listening to this channel and this show. So Rob Horton and I teamed up to create 76 Research. And so we've got model portfolios in there. For those of you that are worried about inflation, you've heard me talk about gold in the past. That's part of it. But there's other ways you can diversify. There's also, besides the inflation protection portfolio, there's a growth-oriented portfolio, the American Resilience portfolio. The portfolios are different because they give you like 10 to 15 stock picks, and we monitor those very, very carefully. Rob has managed billions of dollars on Wall Street, and he is delighted to be gone from it all, just like I feel, right, with the mainstream media, just delighted to be gone from all of it. So I encourage you to go to 76 Research and get that information there. It's really, really, maybe if Don is in the chat, he could add that in, just the link so that you can see it. But really important stuff right now. I mean, Joe Biden has been a total disaster for our economy, has just been so bad. I mean, I showed you the story yesterday. I mean, he's freaking out behind the scenes. He's all worried, apparently, because, well, people are anxious. And so consequently, they're going to vote for Donald Trump. I really think that Donald Trump is going to win this. I mean, I'd be really surprised at this point, given where all the polls are. I mean, there was a Fox anchor the other night who was just stunned. She couldn't believe where he was vis-a-vis Latinos, because no Republican candidate has had such a hold on the Latino community. He's been climbing significantly within the African-American community. I'm telling you, like, minorities are no different than anyone else, okay? We all have the same needs. We want to be able to take care of our families and have a prosperous economic future and be safe, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's not that hard, Joe Biden. It's just not that hard. But everything you've done has been a miserable failure. And so that's catching up to you. So yeah, you're anxious. You're swearing at your staff. I get it. You know what? It's the reality of your policies. You thought you were FDR. You're clearly not. By the way, not that we want FDR. Go read Amity Schley's book on this, The Forgotten Man. A lot of those FDR policies were a total disaster, really and truly. They actually expanded government and they kept the sort of raw beauty of the American capitalist nature suppressed as a result of that. So no, like, you know, Biden, you're not FDR. And by the way, you don't have the House and you don't have the Senate. You didn't have a big swooping majority. You had a very fragile nation who was looking to you to try and do a decent job. All you had to do was not screw it up. Trump basically handed you the keys to the kingdom. I mean, we had recovered massively. You see how depressed the economy got during March 2020, and boom, we had come right out of it. You had the wind at your back, and yet you screwed it all up. And now people are like, wait a second, what's happening next? A new report today, coming to us courtesy of Epoch Times. They found this one first. I credit them for the potential for cyber attacks in America. This is actually really alarming, so I want to be very careful with this. But this is a letter that got sent out to states, to governors in states all over the country. And it was sent yesterday. And it is from Jake Sullivan at the NSC. And let me read to you, they are worried about contamination in the water supply. I mean, that's like really scary stuff and stuff that we actually do need to pay attention to. I've talked about this in the past because there's the threat of cyber attacks doing massive damage, for example, to our grid, etc. But let me just read to you. He's writing, "Dear Governor, disabling cyber attacks are striking water and waste systems throughout the United States. These attacks have the potential to disrupt the critical lifeline of clean and safe drinking water, as well as impose significant costs on affected communities. We are writing to describe the nature of these threats and request your partnership on important actions to secure water systems against the increasing risks from and consequences of these attacks. Two recent and ongoing threats illustrate the risk that cyber attacks pose to the nation's water systems." They cite threat actors affiliated with the Iranian government, Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. They have carried out malicious cyber attacks against U.S. critical infrastructure entities, including drinking water systems. In these attacks, these affiliated cyber actors target and disable a common type of operational technology used at water facilities where the facility has neglected to change a default manufacturer password. And then it goes on to say China's the other one here. China, PRC, the People's Republic of China, state-sponsored cyber group known as Volt Typhoon, has compromised information technology of multiple critical infrastructure systems, including drinking water in the U.S. and its territories. Oh my gosh. Volt Typhoon's choice of targets and pattern of behavior are not consistent with traditional cyber espionage. Federal departments and agencies assess with high confidence that Volt Typhoon actors are pre-positioning themselves to disrupt critical infrastructure operations in the event of geopolitical tensions and of military conflicts. Oh boy. So at least we know. I mean, it goes on to point out the obvious: drinking water and wastewater systems are an attractive target for cyber attacks because they are a lifeline critical infrastructure sector, but often lack the resources and technical capacity to have the right cybersecurity practices. Okay, so states, listen up. This is actually kind of serious. It's good that they're getting the word out, but simultaneously, like, what the heck is going on? We're spending all this money. I mean, they want to spend all this money for Ukraine, and yet our own infrastructure is at risk for cyber attacks from Iran and from China. Our own infrastructure, meaning our border wall, is highly at risk with some, what are the numbers? 7-8 million people estimated to have come here since Joe Biden came into office? I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. This is getting to the point of no return, so to speak. This is sort of scary stuff, and it's not okay. It's not okay. So again, the White House putting out this letter. And again, I'd rather have the information than not, but I think it's important to consider that while we're spending all this money, we haven't done a darn thing really to address the real challenges with our grid. We haven't. And we clearly need to do more if it's gotten to the point where the White House is sending out a letter to governors all around the country saying, hey guys, you know, make sure you change your passwords on your water system. Right? Unbelievable. Before I get to the Kate Middleton story, because we need some reprieve after talking about stuff like that, I want to give a shout out to our friends over at Balance of Nature. You know, it's great. A friend of mine actually texted me yesterday and was like, oh my gosh, Trish, I was watching your show and you like Balance of Nature. And I do too. I love Balance of Nature. And so it was just, again, like another ringing endorsement. It's not just me at this point, right? I mean, I've looked at all of these endorsements I've seen on their website. And I'll tell you, this company's been around some 20 years. It has a tremendous history and a tremendous story. And I encourage you to go to the website and look all that up and read about it. Started by a doctor. Just great, great story. And tons of people are saying, oh my gosh, it's been a game changer. I mean, I feel terrific. I feel really, really great. And I do credit Balance of Nature with this. I think it has a big sort of positive influence on me. I'm taking the fruits and veggies capsules. It's what my friend is taking as well. And so I got a kick out of it because he sent me a text and we were talking about some other stuff. And he just dropped that in. He goes, by the way, I see that you're taking Balance of Nature. I've taken it for years and I love it. So I must be onto something good. You can get a 25% discount on it if you use my name, plus $10 off, plus free shipping. Make sure you get it all and make sure you use my name because I'm pretty sure I have the best discount code out there. My name, you know, is Trish. 1-800-246-8751. 1-800-246-8751. Balanceofnature.com. Code word Trish. Try this stuff out. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I've certainly been super happy with it. And I wonder if I can put that one in the chat too. But anyway, you see it. Balanceofnature.com. Code word Trish, 1-800-246-8751. And these things are terrific. Fruits and veggies. I highly, highly recommend them. Okay. Kate Middleton, for those of you who have been living under a rock, is going to be the next Queen of England someday. And all of a sudden, she just sort of went missing. She went in for surgery around the time that our defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, went in for surgery. And she told us she was going in for surgery. She told the people of Great Britain, unlike Lloyd Austin, who didn't tell us, right? So he went MIA, and that was kind of stressful and scary because that was our defense secretary. She went MIA only after the fact because she was supposed to come out of the hospital, and she didn't. And there was some kind of complication, reportedly, and she stayed in for much longer, and nobody saw her. And so they started getting nervous, and then she left the hospital. But they said, you know, she's not going to be out till Easter. She's not going to be around. She's not going to be doing anything till Easter. And so then people started getting really nervous. And then other people started getting a little bit mean, like, you know, friends of Meghan Markle trolling her online a little bit. Oh, where's Kate? I'm going to go try and find Kate. And there was lots of speculation surrounding her marriage. She did release a photo of herself and her kids, which the palace then recalled. And they recalled it because she had experimented with some editing, and apparently, like, her hand was in the wrong place where the child's jumper was supposed to be. And there were just some other weird things in the photo. For example, the trees behind her looked like they were in bloom, and they wouldn't really be in bloom in early March. And so there are all these, like, different things going on that just had the conspiracy narrative churning and churning and churning. And so the palace is, like, freaking out. They're like, oh my gosh, like, why is everybody so stressed about this? So a lot of chitter chatter about her marriage, and maybe she's breaking up with her husband, or maybe she's really, really sick, or maybe she's, you know, the real crazy ones were like, she's dead, and they just haven't issued any kind of statement. And so Buckingham Palace is like, what the heck? And so they may have decided this is why it was so important for her to make this little trip to the grocery store with her husband. And you can see it was captured actually on video by someone. And you can see her walking. She went to this farm shop. TMZ picked it up. And they even slow down the tape. You know, some of you guys are like, oh, it's not her. It's not her. And Buckingham Palace is like, oh my gosh, this has made it even worse. Well, now everybody's trying to figure out what the heck is wrong with her. Like, what is really, really, really wrong with her? And so it has been suggested that, in fact, the hospital records of Kate Middleton have been broken into by employees that were at the hospital there. And this has been quite devastating, apparently, for the hospital itself, which is just horrified that this would ever happen. And yet this is now apparently the world in which we live, because people are so hungry and crazy for all this information that they're willing to do some crazy stuff. And so it's too bad. It's too bad because I do think that she's entitled to some privacy. And unfortunately, I guess when you sign up for a gig like that, you don't get it. Your heirs, your family doesn't get it for generations to come. As for whatever's going on with her or whatever's wrong with her, I do think, you know what, I'm of the view that, you know, she's entitled to some privacy surrounding her health, and in due course and in due time, she will relate whatever is going on. In the meantime, maybe it's just because I'm not, like, obsessed with the royals, I don't really care. I mean, if they're trying to pull a fast one on us, sure. Are they? Is that what you guys think? Is that, I mean, look, I see so many of you here, you know, you have interesting views on this. I'm just trying to pull up some of your comments so that we can divulge all these little narratives in real time. Here we go. Okay. I see you all. Welcome back to somebody. I see so many familiar faces and some new ones as well. Hey, I totally forgot to tell you to subscribe. I totally, totally forgot to do that. So do me that favor. Joe, I can see you are not only a subscriber, but you are a team member. So that is wonderful. I see that. you think she needs another vacation, Fannie Willis? Another vacation, huh? Another cruise to go on. I need another vacation. I was just on vacation. I had a terrific vacation. Don, he's weighing in sort of on the royals here. Good neighbors, you know, they leave the royals alone. I know. I have a friend actually who went to one of these events with NBC. She used to work for NBC, and one of the top people at NBC was really into the royals. Like, he just ate the stuff up. And so they wound up over in, I want to say, Scotland at some event there with the royals, and it was with Charles. And she said the funny thing is, like, people pay all this money to go to this dinner with Charles to help support the royals, and they were all Americans. Like, there was no actual, like, Scottish people or British people there. Like, they really had no interest in it. It was all Americans. And this person was a producer at the Today Show. So you can see, like, American media, right, just laps this stuff up. So, of course, the Today Show is probably running this story 24/7. Leslie, yeah, you don't really care either. I don't really care. And I'm like, can the poor woman just sort of be left alone? Anyway, apparently a lot of people care. So I felt like after we had the heavy, heavy story, for goodness sakes, our water is going to be contaminated because the Biden administration doesn't bother to actually, like, you know, take care of business back here at home. We needed something a little bit funny. Although I think you guys are still stuck on Fannie. Did you see what I showed you the other day of Donald Trump saying, it's Fannie? It's Fanny like your arse. It was great. I mean, he's actually really funny. Anyway, and Letitia, that's another one you guys keep talking about too. Letitia, because, you know, unbelievable, unbelievable stuff. Anyway, just really good to see you. Jake, welcome back. It's good to see you again here in the chat. Mike Costa as well. When did I start today, Mike? Oh, good question. Probably about an hour ago, which means that I'm coming up on time here. Just a quick reminder, I will put this in the chat, by the way, for you all, because if you haven't gone here to sign up for our emails, we had a good perspective, for example, on the Fed today at 76 Research. I encourage you to go to 76research.com. One of the points that Rob and I were making is that Powell is saying one thing, and yet the dot chart, now I'm really walking out on you, okay? The dot chart actually reflects that one member of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors is feeling increasingly hawkish. And so what you might ultimately see is maybe only rate cuts instead of the three, which would be a good thing. But I even think if you're looking at two, it's probably too much at this point because I don't feel like inflation has settled down at all. I mean, and it depends on what you're looking at. Because, hey, if you go onto some of these Chinese apps and you want to buy clothes, you can get them for, like, really cheap, like really, really, really cheap. But then when you say go to buy a house, it's going to cost you plenty. Or you go to rent an apartment, it's going to cost you plenty. In fact, rents, in terms of what people are paying, are upwards of 22% higher from where they were when Joe Biden came into office. Now, if wages are only up 15.3%, but rents are up 22%, you got yourself a problem. And then look at mortgages. Mortgage payments are up some 66% since he came into office. You know, energy costs are higher. You know, egg costs are higher. So food and energy and shelter. I mean, all these things that we need. So even if you can buy cheap clothes, everything else is higher. So you go out to dinner, it's going to cost you a lot more. And so because this inflation has kind of taken off and left the station, I do think that even two rate hikes are just too much. And so Rob and I sort of reflected on that a little bit in a short note today. But you, thank you, Passport Bro. Thank you for your generosity. And it's great to see so many people supporting individual creators. But I think that ultimately what you do see in the markets in general right now is that you're going to see some equity appreciation associated with inflation, right? Because that kind of goes hand in hand. And so you want to diversify yourself. We talk about gold. You know that one of the sponsors on this show, of course, is Legacy Precious Metals and has been from the very beginning. And so we talk about gold somewhat in the, I've always been a big believer in gold, but there's other ways too. You can diversify your holdings. And I think you need to do that in terms of being prepared and being ready for inflation. So we talk about a lot of different ways to do that. And then also to look at growth opportunities and then to look at income opportunities. And Rob and I are actually talking about doing a little bit of a seminar, just a session on those income opportunities for retirees so that, you know, you're not living off the principal, but you've got something sort of in the bank and you're living off the interest in a way that provides you with enough flexibility and security later in life. So there's a lot of different strategies in there. I do encourage you to go and check it out. And you got a mug. You're funny. Ian wants a mug with lipstick on it. Okay, let me tell you, I can't do the lipstick for you. Sorry. And trust me, you don't want that. Anyway, I'm going to give you TrishRegan.shop. That is where you do get the mugs if you want the mugs. Anyway, that's very sweet of you. Thank you so much for being here to all of you. Thank you for all your support. Remember to share. Remember to comment. I do read all the comments. You wouldn't think I do, but I do. So be nice. And I'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one.